Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Molly Smith, Artistic Director of Arena Stage.
And you have several great shows going on in Arena Stage currently, but right now we're going to talk about My Body, No Choice. It's running now through November 6th, so just a few weeks left to see it. I mean, it runs through November 6th, so that'll take us right up to, you know, the midterm elections, and I can't think of a more timely topic than My Body, No Choice. Talk about the general premise of this one.
Absolutely. Well, when Roe v. Wade was slashed by the Supreme Court, I was devastated, and I thought, what can I do? And I suddenly realized, of course, a theater piece. So we went out and commissioned 8 wonderful female writers to write about choices they either have made about their bodies or are not able to make about their bodies. And I'd say that the majority of these stories are nonfiction, although there are a couple that are fiction-based. You know, it's great writers like Dale Orlando Smith and Sarah Rule, Eve Ensler, who's now called V. I mean, some really terrific writers, Mary Hall Surface, some superb writing out there. And there's stories about women. There's 8 of them. The show runs about 1 hour and 20 minutes. And the beauty of it is that it's just like women. Some of the stories are very funny. They're biting. They're powerful. They pack a punch. They're amusing. They're wild. They're open-ended. They really tell strong stories. So there is this unexpected range about the stories, Jason. No one story is anything like the other story. Of course, there are stories about reproduction rights. There's a story about abortion. There is a story about things my mother told me, which you can imagine how funny that is, because our mothers tell us many things that maybe in retrospect seem really smart, but at the time, you're like, really, Mom? Are you really
telling
me this?
Oh, you don't want to hear it, especially as a teenager.
That's exactly right. And so there's great stories. There's a story about a woman who all of her life has been told to be a certain size, and she wants to be the body size that she is.
Great. And I know the of course, the title, we're so, it's a play on that, you know, the phrase, my body, my choice. And of course, you flip it and call it My Body, No Choice. Dive into what, you know, obviously what that means. I guess I'm assuming you're saying that the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade is almost saying, oh, just kidding, you have no choice in what you do with your body. And now you're kind of rebelling against that notion.
Well, with the moment when they made the choice that they did, suddenly women became second-class citizens again. I mean, we don't even have the Equal Rights Amendment, Jason. Mm-hmm. Women still don't make as much as men.
Right.
I know that there has been change. There's been a lot of evolution in my lifetime, but this puts us right back into 1973, when I was a young woman. And so we're back at ground one as far as not having control over our bodies. And it really is frightening what's happening right now. It's frightening in terms of more and more of our rights being taken away, because they won't stop here. This is the opening salvo.
Are you saying maybe, you know, that the next step, it's like a rapidly slippery slope to, you know, race issues on LGBTQ issues? Are you saying that this is the opening salvo and none of that is safe?
I don't think anything is safe right now. I don't. I don't think people's rights are safe right now. And I think that this is why it's so important to speak out about this now. You know, before Obergefell went through with the Supreme Court, gay people started telling people who are their neighbors, people who are their friends. Listen, I'm Bob and I'm gay. And they're like, oh my God, I've known Bob for 30 years. Well, what's my problem? That's part of what turned the tide in terms of gay rights and the right to be able to marry for same-sex couples. Women have often kept their stories secret because of shame, because of blame, because of fear. And this is a time when women need to tell their stories. And so this is a project that is about that, telling your stories so that people are able to hear them, to empathize, to think it through, where men are able to hear these stories. Men live with women, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all of this is co-created. And it has been something that has been quite separate for some men, not all men, for some men. And so this is an opportunity to tell stories that are important for women and to ensure that they're sitting down after this and telling their stories to their friends and their family and their husbands and their uncles and their, let's talk. I mean, one thing that's terrific about this is with a few of the writers I was talking about, how can we extend this? And we began talking about reaching out to theaters and then reaching out to universities to see if there would be groups around the country who would be interested in doing one-day readings. And we now have, I think, over 20 that are doing readings, everywhere from Hawaii to Arizona, Washington State. It's happening all over the country now.
Nice.
And they're one-day readings with the writers have generously agreed to forego their royalties for this. Because we're in this moment in the run-up to this election, which is such a profound election. And it's our desire to move people into voting. That's why I'm really excited that it's going to be at universities as well, Jason. And everyone is performing them from October 20th to November 6th, which you're absolutely right. It's run up to the midterms. And that's why it only costs $18 to see it. It's 18 days of performances because the magic age of being able to vote is 18.
Ah, I see what you did there. Nice way to weave the theme. Tell me about, real quick, in terms of Arena and the work you've been doing on this specific issue. I know, I guess a couple years back, 2017? Yeah, I think. So like 5 years ago, I know you all did Roe, which was about Roe versus Wade. I remember interviewing the cast for that. How do you grapple with that? You know, that in 2017, do you feel like that not enough people were listening when you were trying to warn them?
I think there's so much going on in this country, Jason, and always is so much going on in this country, that people will listen in a momentary way and then will drift in another direction. I mean, let's be fair. Not every justice voted to overturn Roe v. Wade, right? Mm-hmm. And there is this huge strain that is going through the country right now, and it's quite frankly going through the world, of a conservatism that starts to move into wanting to control women's bodies. Look at what's happened in Iran with the young woman who was murdered.
And they're revolting.
Her hair was outside of her headscarf.
And young women are taken to the streets in Iran and protesting.
That's exactly right. So we're living in really extreme times. And one of the things that can be controlled, there's a belief it can be controlled, are women's bodies. And I just think that this is an opportunity for women to stand up and say, no, this is my body and this is my decision. This is the autonomy of the body. We each have a body and we each have an ability to say what happens with our bodies.
Well, there you have it.
And right now that right has been taken away.
What would you say? How do we, obviously we're going to, you'll have progressive that are going to come to this because they agree and they're outraged and they're going to vote that way. What if we have a conservative listener that's listening, or maybe someone that's sort of maybe on the fence, or, you know, or has, like you said, swayed over the years or drifted from their position or something. How do you invite them to the show and, you know, maybe like ask them sort of to keep an open mind and, you know, that kind of thing. Cause you're hearing personal issue. You're hearing personal stories. These are testimonies. You're not making anything up. Invite them to come listen.
Well, what I would say to the audience is all of these stories are complicated. There's one of the stories where a woman does not agree with abortion. There are other stories where it is true they agree with the choice over their own body. But even the woman who doesn't agree about abortion believes in the ability to choose what one wants to do. So I think that's what I mean by it's complicated. I don't think people will come in and say, oh, everything is so black and white here. It isn't at all. It's as human and as messy as we are.
Yep.
And what I would say is come with your families, come with your wife, have a glass of wine afterwards. Talk about it. Talk about the stories you've heard. We have a whisper room that is in the lobby where people can go in and can tape their own stories. We have stories that are coming in from around the country from people who are talking about choices that they have made around their bodies.
Yeah, well, that's the conversation will continue. So I think that's the perfect place to leave it. Everyone come hear these stories on stage and then continue the conversation. Thank you, Molly. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, Jason.